So 83% of customers expect to resolve complex problems through a single person. This to me is a really high expectation, because when you think about it logically, your customer service representative, they're more than likely not going to have all the answers for everything. There's going to be an IT specialist who, you know, will help with the technical problems. There's going to be someone who in the like billing department that's going to be responsible for like the coding and the billing. And then there's going to be someone else who will have the information to help you if it's like a something in their assembly line, or you know, the status of their product. So I think that that's a really high expectation to have the idea that one person is going to be able to take care of everything,
and that one person is going to be the person who happens to answer the phone.
Right.
So I think that's a high expectation too. I think that between the person who answers the phone, if they can transfer it to one additional person who can answer all those questions, I think that would be also acceptable to most people. At least that would be fine by me. What's troublesome is when you sit there, explain your problem, and then they say, oh, I can't help you, I need to transfer you to someone else. And then that other person, you explain them the problem, oh, I can't help you, I need to transfer you to someone else. Then you're just getting transferred around three or four times.
Yes, that is very frustrating.
Right. So 80% of consumers are more likely to buy from a brand that offer them a more personalized experience.
I can agree with that, because people want to feel unique. They want to feel valued, and they want to know that they're important. So by providing something that isn't cookie cutter and something that is unique to them and thoughtful on their behalf, I think is very meaningful, especially in today's society.
And all of these statistics came from an article I found from Forbes, but they were different studies from different people. So that last one was from Freshworks. There are just a bunch of different studies that Forbes compiled on their website that all were really meaningful and relevant to our businesses. So the next step is to do a self-assessment on your business. And we put together some questions to help you to do that, to think about the customer experience and how well you're doing now, and identify areas you can improve upon. So the first question in this assessment is, how would you rate your business's current client experience on a scale of 1 to 10? How about you?
I would say about an 8. I would say it's about an 8. It could always use improvement. I feel like even if you're a 10, there's a way to go to that 15. So I would definitely say an 8. And I love that you mentioned the self-assessment, because a lot of times we get surveys in the mail, which surveys are another good tool where you can kind of see outside of the self-assessment how your customers really feel about your products or services. But I think it's also very important to have that introspective look into what your customers are going through.
I actually would rate mine as an 8 as well. I took this assessment before, probably a year ago, and I rated my customer experience as a 7 at that time. But since that time, I've come up with some new ideas and things that I've incorporated over the year. So I think I'm more of an 8, maybe an 8.5 at this point. I don't think I would ever give myself a 10, because I think everyone always has room for improvement. But I think I'm at an 8, 8.5, maybe even close to a 9 at this point with the new things that I've incorporated since I started doing the self-assessment.
So what made you give that rating?
Well, when I took this assessment the first time, like I said, probably a year ago, I recognized that we were doing a lot to try to do a good job on the client's cases, but there weren't these kind of things that really stood out. Like Jesse Cole, we've talked about, there weren't these you wouldn't believe moments. There weren't these raving fans so much outside of just, we weren't really standing apart other than just doing a good job for people. So I did some things like we made a video for when new clients are introduced to the firm, because everything nowadays is done remotely. It's done over the phone. And so we send people a video now that is me introducing them to the firm and walking them through the office. They get to see the staff quickly, and we tell them three facts about Bolts Legal. So it's probably a minute or two video, but it takes them through the office so they can physically see there is an office. We are legit. We are here. These are the people who work here. And it's just kind of an introduction to the firm. Maybe give them a little bit of more comfort to see that we have a professional office and to see the people, you know, see their faces and things. So we implemented that. We implemented another video at the end of their case that's congratulations on settling your case that we send them. We started sending a gift when their case is settled. We started sending a welcome gift when they sign up with us. So we just incorporated these different things into the case handling process to just try to improve the customer experience overall.
So the next question is, are you an obvious choice over your direct competitors?
I think so, but I don't know. It's hard to say. If I think about my direct competitors who are here locally in my town, they've had their firm established for more years than I have. But aside from that, I think that we get great results and we really treat our customers as our top priority. They truly are our top priority. Like, I know that in my heart that they're my top priority. I don't know that the other law firm doesn't have them as their top priority. They probably are as well, but I know that I'm at the stage in my career where I'm really trying to grow and really constantly trying to improve. And so I think that we are an obvious choice. Like, if I were to sit down and look at their website, look at my website, look at their social media, look at mine, have a phone call with them, have a phone call with me, I would choose myself. But it's hard. I think there's also, too, when it comes to law firms, personalities that mesh better with certain firms or certain people. So there are certain people who are definitely going to resonate with me better. And the other law firms have very different personnel, completely different people. So there will certainly be some people who resonate better with that law firm and those lawyers.
You know, we're all about that case, about that case, no trouble. All about that case, about that case, no trouble. All about that case, about that case, no trouble. All about that case, about that case.
At Bolts Legal, we are all about your case. Text or call to schedule a free consultation for all your legal needs. BoltsLegal.com.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Like, they're to me, there's everybody is different and unique. So what works best for one person or one company might not work best for the other, even if you both equally do a great job in what you do. So there's a lot of different factors that come into play. I know with me, you know, there are things that I do very well that other people in my field maybe don't focus on as much. And so there are different strengths that I have. But then there are also other digital marketing companies that are very good at what they do too. So I do know that I care about my clients a lot. And I think that shows to people, especially when you start to build that emotional rapport and them knowing that you care and you're willing to go the extra mile for them, regardless of whether you get paid or not, because I do a lot of things for free. If somebody needs like tech advice or they're like, I don't know how to do this, Rachel, I'll make a video and show them how to do it and not expect anything in return. And I don't think a lot of other businesses do that, but I do think that there are some businesses that do.
Sure. The next question for this self-assessment is, what made you give yourself that rating? We already kind of talked about that. And what, if anything, gives us an edge over our competitors? We kind of talk through that as well. So, but as you think about this, am I the obvious choice? Maybe a good exercise would be to sit down someone who doesn't know you or your business and doesn't know your competitors either. Show them, let them look through your website, your social media, and then your competitors, and say, who would be your choice after looking through these videos and looking at these things, and why? I think that could be really educational to understand what is attracting them to the business that they choose. Because after all, their first impression is generally going to come from online. And then next would be if they attempted to make contact with you, how easy and convenient was that accessibility to you.
I think another important tool that you could do in addition to this would be to do a competitive analysis. You know, if you own a restaurant, you can go to another restaurant and see what that experience is like from a customer standpoint versus your customer experience. Or if you own a spa, you know, go have a massage somewhere else and see how they would treat you, not knowing who you are, and see how your staff is treating your clients. So that is a very useful tool, and that's actually should be part of your business plan, is doing that competitive analysis to figure out, you know, what are your strengths? What are their weaknesses? What type of advantages do your competitors have over you? And what kind of gaps are there in the industry so that you can capitalize on those?
That just gave me an idea for a social media post that we could do, or anyone could do, is tell me about the best experience you've had with a law firm, or tell me about your biggest complaint about working with law firms. People will comment and let you know what they liked or disliked about their experiences with different businesses, and you can learn from that.
Yes.
So the next question in the self-assessment is, would you recommend your business to a close family or friend? Why or why not? So for this one, you have to kind of put on your neutral hat and look at your business from an outside perspective and think, if I were to, would I want to refer this, my own business, to somebody else? And if you say no, you definitely need to, you've got some homework to do if you say no, because you certainly want to feel comfortable referring your own business to other people.
Yeah, so if your mom wouldn't have a good experience there, then chances are that strangers who don't know you at all, they're not going to have a good experience either. So another question to ask yourself is, think about the absolute best customer service you have ever received. What brand or company provided that experience, and what made it exceptional?
For me, I spent a lot of time thinking about this. It was actually not as easy to come up with a really exceptional experience. I mean, Disney comes to mind, of course, because Disney, just from the moment you walk in, is really trying to make you have the best customer service experience. But I think that's a good example for everyone. Are we treating people like Disney? But aside from Disney, the one that came to mind for me was CRISP, which is a coaching program for lawyers that I participate in Atlanta. When I go to their workshops or I go to their conferences, they anticipate your needs and have everything there accessible and ready for you. As an example, in the back of the room, they have a charging station with every type of phone charger known to man. So as lawyers, we're always on our phone, our phones are always dying, so to be able to go right there, plug in my phone, is like amazing. It's just great. They have coolers there in the conference room with drinks that you can grab, all types of drinks, energy drinks, water drinks, flavored water, anything that you could imagine. They have coffee stations set up. They serve us lunch and breakfast there so that we don't have to leave to eat and come back. When you go into the restroom, they have mints and mouthwash and dental floss and deodorant, like all these little toiletries and things there in the bathroom. And they greet you at the door. They always have a welcome gift for you along with a binder with the presentation materials for that day. It's just everything is so well put together. The staff are all dressed in ways in their uniforms or whatever, so that you can identify them and ask them any questions that you have. They're accessible and available and around. The room is just really well put together. You can see the screen. Like, just everything is planned out, thought ahead, and they are really looking at, from the moment you step in the door till the moment you leave, that you have a positive experience. So contrast that with other conferences you go to that maybe are at a hotel or something like that, where you walk in and you're like, I don't know where to go. You're asking different people where to go. You get there, you can't find the registration booth. You stand in a long line to register. And then you're just kind of on your own. Like, where we went to a festival recently for our podcast, and it was lunchtime. And we asked several people, hey, where can we get some food for lunch? And nobody seemed to know. And so we like wandered around this hotel and eventually found like a place to get a sandwich. But that would never have happened at Crisp.
Right.
Like, they have everything ready to go there for you. So it just really, they really do a good job at going above and beyond to give a great experience.
And I think that's the key word right there, is going above and beyond and anticipating any type of potential conflict and then minimizing that threat before it even occurs.
And I'll say, I've learned from that great customer experience at Crisp, because I came back to the office, said, okay, we're gonna now have in our break room area snacks for people. So we have a basket that always has snacks in it.
Is that why you put mints in the bathroom?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I was wondering.
Yes, we put in the bathroom now those same type of things, the little dental floss things and mints. Like, we put some, I actually, when I was at Crisp, I took a picture of the stuff they had. I sent it to my office manager and said, can we put something like this in our restrooms of our office? And she was like, that's a great idea. She ordered the stuff, set it up. And so now we are giving that same customer experience. So taking these things you learn and you see and you're impressed by at other businesses and incorporating them, it can sometimes be very simple. It's just upgrading the bathroom experience.
You know, as you were talking, it reminded me of another experience we had together that was like so incredible. Do you remember when we went to Palmer College and we walked in, and out of the numerous amount of people that were there, we walked through the door and she's like, hi, Brooke. Hi, Rachel. And I was like, Brooke, do you know these cats? And you're like, no, I've never met them in my life. So apparently these individuals had looked us up on the internet or something before. When they saw that we had signed up to go, they looked us up so that when we walked through the door, they could greet us by name.
Yes, that was definitely impressive.
And kind of creepy too. Like, yeah. It was very impressive, but it shows you that even just by doing some additional research ahead of time, you can really give a unique and above and beyond experience during your interactions with clients or even just people in your life.
You don't wanna be whack. Cuckoo. We will cut you some slack.
We got you.
You just wanna make a big stack.
Ballin'.
Listen to our biz hack.
Have you noticed the trend where people are hiding the total number of reactions on their Facebook posts? Well, if you're curious on how to do it, today's biz hack is going to tell you exactly how. On your computer, log into Facebook and go to your profile picture in the top right corner. Then select settings and privacy, then settings again. You're going to see a search settings bar that pops up, and you're going to want to type in reaction preferences. From there, you can hide the number of reactions from everyone's post or just your own. If you select your own, other people won't see the total number of reactions under posts you share to your profile. Reaction counts will still appear on your posts in other places, such as groups or on other content like Reels.
So then once you think about what's the absolute best customer service experience you've had, now compare that experience to your own business. How would you rate your business's current client experience in comparison to that above and beyond business that you just thought of? And so that's exactly what I did when I started incorporating putting some stuff in the bathroom and doing some of these other things. These are things that I've incorporated over the last year, which is why my rating has gone up from a 7 to an 8, 8.5, maybe even a 9.
Yeah, I think when I compare myself to that lady at Palmer, like, I do a lot of those things already where I'm doing my research on people usually before I even send them an email. So I can kind of understand where they're coming from and what needs that they have, so that while we're communicating, their needs are always top of mind. And it's not just a generalized statistic show, da da da. It's personalized for them, their brand, and their voice. However, if I'm comparing myself to Disney or something like that, like, I would say that that number would drop if I'm comparing myself to, you know, a multi-billion dollar company.
Right. If Disney's the 10, I think is how you can look at it, or that above and beyond best customer service experience is a 10, how do you rate in comparison to that? So the next part of the self-assessment is a little different. You now have to, and this can be homework because you can sit down and write this out, you have to kind of think about the stages of the customer experience. So for me, it would be like intake from the first time that they contact our office, and then the case handling, like the pre-suit process, the litigation process, and then the settlement process. So you write down those stages of the customer experience, and then you rate each of those phases as a either bright spot, neutral spot, or friction spot. And the goal, of course, is that you want each phase to be a bright spot. So I looked at the intake process and said, is this a bright spot? Is there things that we could improve upon here? One of the things that I identified that wasn't so bright was the fact that it was just phone calls and emails. There wasn't any face-to-face interaction happening. That's why we incorporated the video, so that they could see us, see our office. So we moved it up closer to being a bright spot. Same thing with the end of the case. The case is over, you know, they're going on their way, they're happy, but can we improve upon that? So you want to write down each phase of the process and then rate it where it is now, and then write down ideas on how you could raise it up further up to being either a bright spot or a brighter spot. There's always ways we can be improving.
And I think that this is a good assessment to do frequently. I don't think it's a one and done type of thing, because as your organization grows or evolves, you're going to want to make sure that you're still setting the bar of where you want to be in terms of your client experience.
And now that you have the awareness of this type of an assessment, your eyes will be opened everywhere you go. If you walk into a new place and you see that they have some really standout signage or something that really is impressive, or I don't know, whatever it is, wherever you go, you're gonna be on the alert now when you see something that looks impressive or improves upon the customer experience, and you can find ways to now incorporate that type of also impressive signage or whatever into your own business.
And it's good to keep a list too when you see these things that you really like that would be beneficial for your business. Create a list. It can be something as simple as you opening a new note on your phone, and when you see it, you just jot it down. And that will kind of help you guide when you go into like your strategic planning for your business to have ideas of what to incorporate based upon what you saw previously and liked.
And that's a good idea, because I know for me, when I went into the bathroom and I took the picture, I needed to send it right away so that we could make it happen. Because if I didn't act right away, I'm gonna forget about it. So if you don't have the ability to act on it right then, add it to your list, and then go back to that list and look at it later when you're in a better place to start implementing the list.
And if you like a copy of this self-assessment tool, just email us at msbizpod, that's msbizpod at gmail.com. And if you like this episode, leave us a review. Tell your friends, and let's empower each other together.
Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. John 13:35.
We appreciate you and are honored to be on this journey with you. We can't wait to help you, to encourage you, and show you how to grow personally, professionally, and spiritually.
If you found Miss Biz helpful, please leave a review and share with others.
You can follow us on social media at Miss Biz Podcast.
For legal questions or services, please visit boltslegal.com.
And for digital marketing needs, please visit boltsmedia.com. Let's get biz done.